1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 and 27. Last Sunday morning, I began a short little series of messages. Something that I very rarely do a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, but I decided to do that this time to make it go quickly and yet at the same time be an encouragement. We were talking about spiritual fitness training, and we talked last Sunday morning about preparation and how we need to have a passion for the Lord. You're never going to become spiritually fit if you don't have a passion for it. If you just say, oh, ho-hum, if I grow spiritually good, if I don't, okay, you'll never will. You never will. You've got to have a passion for it. And last Sunday night, we talked about self-control and how self-control plays a huge part in our spiritual training. We've got to be able to control ourselves and keep away from us the things that are hindering us and the things that will slow us down. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the third, and that is the importance of discipline. The importance discipline plays in our role of spiritual fitness. And we're talking about disciplined life this morning. We're talking about having a life that is governed in such a way that we will be growing spiritually. And so, as we look at our text this morning, we find that our text reveals three characteristics about discipline that I want us to notice. And let's read those verses this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 26 and 27. I therefore, Paul speaking here, he says, I therefore now run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The first characteristic of discipline we see here is a distinct direction. A distinct direction. He starts out and he says in verse number 26, I therefore. Always remember, whenever you see the word therefore, it's pointing you to something that's already been said. So, we go back to the previous verse, and the previous verse is the one we studied last Sunday night, and it says, and every man striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He talked there about being temperate or self-controlled. And he said the self-control is something that is very important. We have to have that. Now, self-control is preventing harmful choices that will hinder God's will in our life. Now, it's not always bad. We pointed out last time that self-control, we need to control ourselves even with things that are good. You know, you might enjoy reading a book, but if you read a book instead of reading your Bible, that's not a good choice. Even though the book might have been a nice book, it's not a good choice. If you make choices that will hinder your spiritual life, even though it may be an all right choice, it's not a good choice because it doesn't put God first. Just this morning, I was reading in Matthew chapter 6, and there we read where Jesus said that we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. He said the first thing you need to do is seek salvation and God's righteousness. Live a righteous life. That's what God wants us to do. That's the first thing. And so He said, if you seek me first, I'll take care of the rest. So we've got to make sure that our priorities are right. And sometimes we have things in our lives that we need to control that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's a habit, or maybe it's a problem, or a sin, or something we're doing that isn't helping a spiritual leader. So there has to be self-control. But this morning, as we look at this, we see here that as he starts out and he says, I therefore so run. Paul said, because of the need for self-control, because of the need to run and win the race, and because he ends verse 25 and he says that there's an incorruptible crown to be won. And Paul says, because there's an incorruptible crown to be won and I want to win it, therefore I'm going to so run. All right? And when he says so, the word so there means in this manner. In this manner. In that way, I'm going to be self-controlled. I'm going to be disciplined. In this manner, I am going to run because I want to win that crown. And Paul had that passion in his heart. He wanted to win that crown. He said, he gives us two different illustrations here in verse 26. He says, I so run, not as uncertainly. I know, what's he talking about? He's comparing it again to an athletic event, and here's a running race. Paul says, I'm going to run in the race, not as uncertainly. Now, the word uncertainly has the idea of an unclear. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where the directions are. You know, you get a runner out there, he's on the track, he's ready to run, and you say, which way are you going? I don't know. Which way should I run? This way or that way? Now, they often have lanes to run in. It's in the big athletic race. And which lane am I in? Well, it doesn't matter, just run wherever you want. Well, you can't do that. You got to stay in your lane. You got to know the direction you're going. You got to know the rules, and you got to know the plan. And Paul said, I therefore so run. In this manner, I run. I am disciplined. I know where I'm going. I have a distinct direction. I know exactly where I'm going. I know what the goal is, and I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to run my fastest, and I'm going to win this race. And so he's got that passion in his heart and a distinct direction that he's headed to. He knows God's rules, and he says, I'm going to obey God's rules. You know, in the Christian life, if we're going to win the race, we've got to know what God expects of us. We've got to know God's rules, and we've got to obey them. You know, it's not enough to know what God wants us to do. We've got to do it. You parents know that. You can tell your children what to do, and they know what to do. But if they don't do it, it didn't accomplish what you wanted. Right? And it's the same thing with God and us. When God gives us His commands in the Bible, and He says, this is what I want you to do, and we might say, oh, yeah, I know that. But are we doing it? And if we're not, we're not obeying Him. So Paul says here, I so run. I know the rules, and I'm going to run in my lane, and I'm going to run as fast as I can, and I'm running for the goal, and I'm going to win this race. Because I'm determined. I've got a distinct direction I'm headed in. But then he goes on and he gives another illustration of athletics. He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm like a boxer out there, but when I give my punch, every punch I give is going to hit the target. I'm not just swinging at the air and, you know, just come on, get me, I'll get you. He says, no, every punch is aim for the nose. You know, I'm going to get him right where I want to. I'm going to win this event. And so he says, I don't beat the air. I'm trying to beat the other guy. All right? And so he's got a distinct direction. He says, I see that target and I'm going to hit it every time. Bam! And I'm going to hit the target every time. I'm going to aim at that target. And he says, that's my goal. I don't want to be just one that beats the air. I want to hit the target. And so it is in our Christian life. Paul says here, he has a distinct direction. Everything he did was carefully aimed at the target. You know, we need to evaluate our lives. You know, there's a lot of times we spin our wheels. We beat the air. We're doing things that really don't really help us any. They're just maybe fluff or fun or something to do, but it's not really aimed at any target. It's not aimed at becoming godly. It's not aimed at pleasing God. It's not aimed at doing something for God's glory. It's just kind of following everybody else, floating down the stream. You know, you've all been out to a river and maybe been in a canoe or a boat and in the river and you see things. You know, it's easy if you're floating downstream. You ever try to turn it around and go upstream? Whew, takes some work depending on how much current there is. If there's a lot of current, you got to really paddle to get it upstream. Going downstream is easy. And you know, we're in this world where the world is going downstream and it's easy to go with them. But God says, you know, a lot of times we got to go upstream because the world's going the wrong direction. And so we're going to have to work hard at it. We've got to aim at the target and work hard and discipline ourselves to do what God wants us to do. A Christian who goes through life with no distinct direction will never win God's crown. You will never win a crown from God. If you go through life with no distinct direction, you're just floating along, you will never win a crown. It takes work. It takes discipline. And Paul was saying here, I so run. I know God's rules. I know the lane I'm in. I know who the target. I know how I'm supposed to do it. And I see that guy. I'm going to punch him right in the nose. I know where I'm heading. And every punch is going to head the right direction. I am determined. I have a distinct direction I'm headed. And in our Christian life, we need to do the same thing. You cannot go through life just kind of floating along and expect to win God's crown. It will not happen. Many Christians do not even know God's will for their lives. If someone has come to ask you and say, do you know what God's will is for your life? I don't know. You know, God's got some general will for all of our lives. I mean, you just read in the Bible some basic things that God says you ought to be doing. You know, the will of God for our lives are things like going to church, reading your Bible, praying, staying holy and living godly, being modest, being faithful in church, tithing. I mean, these are things that are taught in the Bible that are general for everybody who knows the Lord. But then there's some specific things where God may be working in your heart and calling you to a particular ministry. Maybe, you know, you think of our missionaries. We've got three missionaries. All three of them, I'm sure, could look back at a time when God spoke to their heart and said, I want you to go to the mission field. I have a burden to go. We think of our latest missionary, Brother Chris, And he went up to visit Dave Crow several times and helped him. One time they spent, I think, about a year up there working with Dave and Julie. And the Lord began to work in his heart. And the Lord began to say, Chris, you need to be up here doing this. This is what you ought to be doing all the time. And he finally said, okay, raised his support. They're back there doing it now. Why? Because they were willing to follow God's will for their life. You know, God's got a plan for your life as well. Not just the young people, but particularly the young people, the olders. Most of us have kind of found that niche where God wants us. But perhaps you're still floating. Maybe you're saying, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Or maybe you're saying, I would sure like to be able to do something to be a testimony for the Lord. Or be a better witness for the Lord. But I don't really know what. Well, then start praying and say, God, what do you want me to do that I can be a better testimony for you? How can I pass those some tracks? How can I be a blessing? How can I speak out for you? What can I do that can be a blessing in our local church? Ask God. He'll lead you, but we need to know God's will. But many Christians don't have a clue. God is not saying here that we should not relax. God's not saying you got to work, never take a break. No, even in Jesus' ministry, they took breaks. I mean, in Jesus' ministry, they would take off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee just to try to get away from the people. Sometimes it didn't work. And they get over there, and all the people saw him going, and they follow him over there, and then Jesus ends up spending the whole day healing and ministering, preaching anyway, even though they're supposed to be on holiday. But they tried, and I'm sure there are probably times that aren't recorded in the Scripture when they did sneak away and didn't get caught up by all the people and did get some relaxation, because that's important. But he's not saying that we should never relax, but he is saying that our entertainment and our actions must have distinct direction. The things that we do, the things that we look at, the things that we listen to, the places we go, the activities we're involved in, the words we say, everything should have a distinct direction. I am aiming for the mark. I'm going to win. I want to win this race. I don't want to come up a loser. I want to be a winner. I want to be a winner. And every one of us ought to have that in our heart. I want to be a winner. You know, the greatest thing about God's race and winning an incorruptible crown isn't that there's just one incorruptible crown. It's not like God's got one incorruptible crown and there's millions of us trying to get that one crown. Who's going to win? No, the great thing is that we're not competing with each other. We're competing against ourselves. And we're just... God says, I will give you an incorruptible crown if you will honor me and put me first and live a life that would be pleasing to me and overcome the flesh and overcome the devil that is trying to get you to do wrong and live a victorious life. I'll give you an incorruptible crown and you can win it and so can I. But if we're lazy or slack or just kind of drifting, it'll never happen. Never happen. You've got to know the mark and you've got to be pressing toward that mark. We read in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist said, I know what you want, Lord. I know what your thoughts are and your desire. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. That ought to be our prayer. Ought to be our goal, a mark that we aim for. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do ought to bring glory to Him, honor to Him. The places we go, the way that we dress, the way that we talk, the list of things that we listen to, the things that you watch, the internet that you surf. Everything we do ought to bring glory to the Lord. If it's not, we're not following the race that we're supposed to. Paul says, I don't want to step out of my lane. I don't want to get disqualified. I don't want to be cheating. I want to do it right. I want to win. And every one of us this morning ought to say, that's my desire. I have been asking God this week for a passion to grow, and I've been willing to submit myself and to be self-disciplined, but now I can see I need this discipline, and that's what I want. That ought to be our desire in our heart. So, the first characteristic we see here is a distinct direction. The second characteristic we see is a determination to do right. A determination to do right. Verse number 27, Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. All right, now let's just pick this apart a little bit here. This in the English, yeah, I admit, it's a bit hard to figure out what it's talking about. But let me explain, and it's not hard once you see this. First of all, he starts out with the word but. All right? He starts out with the word but. But I keep under my body. It's, again, that word, Allah, that word that means an opposite. He said, I don't want to be one that's disqualified, but I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to force myself to do right so I can win the prize. And so there's a contrast there. And Paul has a determination that he's going to do that and do it right. And we must prepare ourselves well. We must train for excellence. It's not going to happen accidentally. We've got to train for excellence. And I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again now, the one thing that spurred my heart to preach these little series is when God brought it to my heart and mind an understanding that I guess there was a lot of times that I'd pray and say, God, just give me victory. And I'm looking at God and say, God, when are you going to zap me so that I'll be a great Christian and won't have all these problems? Doesn't work. That's not what's going to happen. What it is instead of waiting for God to zap you to make you a super Christian, God's saying, I've got everything prepared. I've laid out the rules. I've laid out the lines. Now run! Run! Beat, you know, fight with determination. Know your mark. Know your target. Do your best. Get in there and do it. And run the race so you can win. See, God gives us the strength, but He expects us to do it. And it's our part that we've got to get in there and do what God asks us to do. But if we're lazy, you know, we need that determination to do our best. But if we are lazy and we feel lazy, the devil will try to get us to just think it's not worth it. It's so hard. It's too hard to live the Christian life. It's too hard to get victory over sin. It's too hard to guard my mouth. And it's too hard to do those things that I have struggles with. So I'll just forget it. I'll just do like everybody else. You won't win the prize. You'll get disqualified. It won't be worth it then. But it will be worth it all if we do what God wants us to do. So let's stay in the fight and stay in the race and do what's right. So he says here, but I keep under my body. But I keep under my body. Let's take a look at that phrase. That is one that's confusing. What it literally means, if you were to look this up in the Greek lexicon or Greek dictionary, it literally says, but I will beat myself black and blue. What Paul was saying is, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. He said, I'm not going to let myself get away with what I want to do. Your body and my body wants to do the wrong thing. Paul says, I'm going to beat myself. Now, I don't think Paul was literally saying, all right, I take a club and I hit myself every time I do wrong. I don't think he was saying that. He was simply saying, I am going to use strict discipline in my life. I'm going to force myself to do what's right because I want to win the race. I'm going to beat myself if I have to keep myself from doing the wrong thing. I'm not going to let myself go astray. I'm not going to let myself go the wrong direction. I'm going to say, no, you're not going to do that. You get back in line. Do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's right. And we've got to force ourselves to do right. Instead of being lazy, we say, no, get going. Instead of feeling like, well, I'm going to just take one look. No, don't do that. Stay right. Do right. Be right. Don't do that. Force yourself to do what God wants you to do. And Paul was using very, very stern words here when he says about himself, he says, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. I don't let myself do what I want to do. I do what God wants me to do. Even if I have to beat myself to do it. Our bodies are stubborn. We are selfish by nature. And we often don't like to do what God wants us to do. I mean, let's just face it. Our flesh doesn't like God's ways a lot of times. We'd rather do it our way. But God, and Paul says, listen, I know I've got a problem and I'm going to beat my body and bring it into subjection. We see back in Romans chapter 6 and 7 where Paul was talking about his own flesh. He says, you know, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. And how did he correct the problem? He said, I can have victory through Christ. But the truth of the matter is, Paul was saying here, the way that I'm going to get the victory is depending on Christ, but I'm going to beat myself black and blue if I have to. I'm going to keep myself in line. I will not let myself do that. And so what we need is we need determination in our hearts to just say, no, enough is enough. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to let my body do that. I'm not going to go into that. And every time Satan comes to tempt us to sin, to go into stray, to look at something we shouldn't look at, to think something we shouldn't think, to be something we shouldn't be, to go someplace we shouldn't go, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be determined. Daniel did that when he said, I purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And he said, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Self-discipline. We must stop thinking and praying that God will somehow zap us with that spiritual strength. It will not happen that way. And God has taught me a lesson on this, and I hope you'll learn that lesson. It requires harsh discipline. Our flesh is stubborn. Our will is selfish. We need to force ourselves to do right. Force yourself to do right. Yes, at the same time, we need to allow God to help us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've taught you before in the past that it's a passive imperative. What that means is allow yourself to be strengthened in the Lord. God wants to strengthen me. He wants to strengthen you. We've got to allow it. How do we allow it? By cooperating with Him. By cooperating with Him. If we don't cooperate with Him, He's not going to force us to do what He wants us to do. But He's there willing to help. He's willing to give us strength. He's willing to help you to do what's right. He's willing to help you get victory over that sin. He's willing to help you to be a godly wife or a godly husband. He's willing to help you with the issues that you struggle with. But you've got to let Him. And we let Him by saying, God, I will do what You want me to do. You said this, I will do it. Instead of sitting back and saying, well, God, when are You going to zap me and make me a really good husband? No, it's not that way. God says, do right. Do right. Do right. And so we got to cooperate with God. Allow Him to help us. Allow Him to do this and give us the strength. Spiritual fitness is not passive. It is active. You've got to get involved. I've got to get involved. We see multitudes of verses that deal with this. For example, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you know Christ, you do live in the Spirit. But then he says, that's not enough. Walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, then you can have victory. What's it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to walk in harmony with Him. It means to cooperate with Him. It means to do what you're supposed to do. It means to do things His way. Stay clean. Stay pure. Stay close to Him. Read your Bible. Pray. Talk to God. Spend close time to Him. Remember that verse says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you? What's that mean? It means that I've got to come to God and say, God, I want you to clean me. And then he goes on, that same verse tells us how to get drawn out of God. Drawn out of God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. So he said, if you want to draw nigh to me, clean yourself up. You know, confess your sin. Get right with God. And then he says, once you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. And so we got God's promise on that. He will draw nigh us if we will do that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. He says, you need to put it off. I need to put it off. That's my job. All right, God didn't say, zap, it's gone now. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You won't do any sin. No, he says, put it off. I'll give you strength. But you take the action and put it off. Stop doing those things you shouldn't do. Stop looking at those things you shouldn't look at. Stop thinking those thoughts you think. Stop being that way. Don't do that. Do it my way. And God says, you put it off and I'll give you strength. And so we need to depend upon the Lord. We find another verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He's saying, put it away. Get rid of all those bad words and bad things that come out of your mouth. Don't let that come out of your mouth anymore. Just say, no. You know, sometimes, whoa, sorry, I slipped. I shouldn't say. No, God says, don't do it. Just ban it. Say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. And if you fall, what do? Quit. Just say, I give up. I can't do it. No. You get on your knees and say, God, I was wrong. I'm trying hard, God, but I failed again. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And you get back up and you do right again. Go on for the Lord. Don't quit. Keep on. We're all going to trip. We're all going to fail. But that's, you know, even an athlete, when they're running in the race and something happens and they trip, you know, there's two ways to respond. You might say, oh, I tripped. I'll never win now. Forget it. And walk off. Or you can jump back up and go faster than you've ever gone before and try to win that race. And that's what God wants us to do. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going. We need to get right with God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lust. but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, flee the lust, but follow righteousness. So there's things for us to do. Action. Things that we've got to do. It's not that God's going to say, all right, now I've zapped you, so you're going to be automatically flee lust. No, that doesn't happen. It's my job to flee the lust. It's your job to flee the lust. Will God strengthen us? Absolutely, He will. If we do it His way, He says, remember there in Ephesians 6:10? Then He goes on after Ephesians 6:10, He gives you all the armor of the Spirit, of things that we can do to put on the armor of God, put on truth, put on righteousness, and put on all these armors so that we can have victory. So God's telling us here that we need to do our part. Now, we must force our bodies also to submit. So Paul says here, I keep under my body. That's the word that means to beat it. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I beat it and say, you're going to do what's right. Whether you like it or not, you're going to do what's right. And we force our bodies into subjection. All sinful words and activities will hinder our spiritual fitness. Many people today let their desires control their bodies. Their desires control them. They yield to trends, to peer pressure, to lust, to advertisement, to feelings, to taste buds, to pride, and the list goes on and on and on. People yield to it. We sometimes do the same. But that's not what God wants. God said we're to keep our body in subjection. Say, no, body, you're not going to do that. You're not going to eat that. You're not going to go to that place. You're not going to say that. You're not going to talk like that. You're not going to look at that. You're not going to go there. You're not going to be around that person because they're bad for you. You're just not going to do that. No, I'm not going to. Doesn't matter how much pressure there's on. Doesn't matter how many people are saying, oh, come on, join with it. No, I'm not going to do that. We've got to have discipline. So we beat ourselves into subjection. To keep ourselves doing what is right. We force our desires of our body to submit to God's standards. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pretty serious verse. God says, do not love the world. Now that doesn't mean we're not supposed to love their soul. That means we're not supposed to love all the filthy things they're doing. And we're to stay away from that. So again, God's telling us there's things to do. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So He says, we're to stay separated from the unclean things of the world and the ungodly things of the world. Subjection always involves obedience. It always does. If we're going to be submissive to God, we say, God, I submit to you. I'll do what you want me. Then it means we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to obey. We can't just say, I'm going to be submissive and then do my own thing. That's not submission. That'd be like your child. You know, you tell them, you know, go clean your room. Yes, ma'am, I'll be submissive. And he goes off and plays. What good did that do? Didn't do any good. All right? It's the obedience that is the real submission. It isn't just the happy voice saying, yes, I'll do that. And so when God speaks to our heart and says, that is wrong, don't do that. Like, yes, God, I agree. And then we keep on doing it. That's not what He's saying. That's not submission. So submission is obedience. So there has to be obedience involved if we're going to be submissive to God. A preacher of years gone by used to thunder out the words, do right till the stars fall. You know, that ought to be our motto. Do right till the stars fall. Well, the stars aren't going to fall right away. You know, one day in the future, God will melt it all down. But that's a long way off. Or at least a long way off in our thoughts. Maybe not in His thoughts. But God says, here, we're to do right. And it, when we don't feel like obeying God, we need to push ourselves into doing what is right. Though our friends are doing wrong, we need to force ourselves to do right. We need to do right like Joshua did. Toward the end of Joshua's life, they'd conquered most of the land of Canaan. Joshua had a talk to the people. And in his talk, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I am determined. I have made up my mind. We're not going to budge. We're going to serve the Lord. And that ought to be our heart's cry. We ought to be like Esther. Remember Esther? Queen Esther, was there as the queen of Persia, Jewish girl, becomes the queen of Persia. And Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews. And her cousin Mordecai said, Esther, God may have put you in this position for a time such as this. You've got to petition the king and ask the king to spare the Jewish people. And she said, but if I do that and he doesn't call me in and doesn't put out a scepter to me, I will be killed. And Mordecai says, think about your people. Do what God wants you to do, is basically what he was saying. And what did Esther say? Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do what's right. And oh, that we would have that kind of a passion. Where we'd say, I'm going to do what is right. If I perish, I perish. If the day comes in our world when we are faced with persecution and we are faced with deny Christ or die, we ought to take the choice of Esther and say, if I perish, I perish, but I will not deny Christ. It's not easy. It's easy to talk about maybe, but not easy to do. But we need to have that discipline in our life, determination. You know, if we will never die for Christ if we're not willing to live for Christ. Right now we're talking about living for Christ. We're talking about doing the right things. And so we need to begin by just being what God wants us to be. Let's determine to do what is right. We find a third brief characteristic of discipline here in this verse as well. Toward the end of verse number 27, Paul says, he says, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The third characteristic here is a dread of God's disapproval. A dread of God's disapproval. What was Paul saying here? He's saying that even though I preach to others, I don't want to be a castaway. The word castaway literally means to be disqualified. I'm in a race. I'm in a fight. I do not want to be disqualified. If I'm disqualified, I can't possibly win the crown. I want to do it God's way. I want to do it fairly. I want to do it exactly the way God wants it to be done. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to keep my eyes on the goal. I'm going to run my best. I want to win. I don't want to be disqualified. Even though I've been a preacher, he says, that's a possibility. I don't want that. The world around us wants to set the rules for our lives. Paul said, no, I don't want that. I want to follow God's rules. Because God's the one that's in charge. You know, we will never answer to the world on judgment day. We will answer to God. We'll answer to God. You know, the peers and the movie stars and the heroes of people today that everybody wants to mimic, they're not going to be the judges on judgment day. It's going to be Almighty God. And you know, there's such a temptation. The devil makes it so appealing to us to think, but I don't want everybody thinking I'm weird. I don't want everybody thinking that I'm the only one that doesn't do it their way. Doesn't matter. On judgment day, God will say, well done to those who do it His way, and to those who don't do it His way, they're going to face His judgment. We need to dread being a castaway, being disqualified. Dread that. I want in my heart to have a passion to do it God's way so that I won't want to give in and say, it won't matter. It will matter. I need to keep my focus. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want God to say, you cheated. You stepped out of line. You got out of the race. You didn't do it right. I don't want to be disqualified. I've made a lot of mistakes in life, and you have too. But God wants us from this point on to run our best. To quit just because we made a mistake yesterday is no excuse. We need to get up and run. Do our best. Let God sort out the details in the end, but one thing for sure, we give up and quit, we're never going to get any kind of a prize from God. We need to run for the crown. That incorruptible crown that every one of us can win if we'll press on. Press on. Let God be the one that we focus on. Do things God's way. We read in Romans 12, verse 14, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The day's coming, the judgment seat of Christ, that every Christian will stand before God and give an account. It'll be a day of reward or a day of loss of reward and rebuke. Which do you want? I'd far rather get a reward than to have a rebuke from God. I'm fearful that he may rebuke me for some things. But the good thing is that if we confess our sin, he says it's forgiven and replaced with his righteousness. That's a wonderful truth. Let's strive for the reward. Seek to be rewarded by God. If there's things in your life right now that ought not to be there, get rid of them. Get them out of your life. Discipline yourself. Force yourself to get rid of them. Beat yourself black and blue and cause your body to submit and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just plain not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right until the stars fall. I want to do what God wants me to do. And so, as we look at this passage here, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know the rules. I know where I'm going and I'm headed the right direction. I got a distinct direction. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just swinging at nothing. I've got a direction I'm headed in. But I keep under my body. I beat my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you know, if Paul the preacher could be a castaway and disqualified, certainly every one of us could be as well. But we don't have to be. We can win. We can get rewards from God. We can have God say, well done. But it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take determination to say, I will not let my body do that anymore. I will not let my mind think on those things. I will not look at those things anymore. I will not go that way anymore. And when we trip and fall, we get up and confess it and say, God, give me grace, give me strength. Help me to depend upon you. You said, Lord, that if I depend on you, you will strengthen me. And Lord, please strengthen me and help me to do what's right. Don't give up. Don't quit. Press on. Press on. Press on. Don't quit. Press on for the Lord. God will bless you if you'll do that. That's what God wants us to do. So as we wrap it up this morning, ask ourselves the question, are you living a life that is spiritually disciplined? Do you have a distinct direction for your life? Do you have a strong determination to do right, no matter what? Do you have a dread of God's disapproval? How we live our lives does matter. Every one of us will stand before the Lord one day at the judgment seat of Christ. If you don't know Christ your Savior, you won't stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be at His great white throne judgment, and that's far, far worse. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers to be sentenced to the lake of fire forever. And if you're not positive you're truly a Christian, please come to see me afterwards and say, Pastor, I've got some doubts. Can we talk about it? I would love to talk to you about it. I don't want you to have those fears and doubts. I want you to know for sure. But as a Christian, as we stand before God at the great white at the judgment seat of Christ, to be rewarded or rebuked by God, every one of us are going to want to be. Hear his words, well done, not a rebuke. We're not going to want to hear that. And the only way is if we run with determination and discipline and say, I'm going to win the race for God. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to get lazy. I'm not going to get slack. God, help me to change my ways. Some of you need to change some habits in your life. Maybe you got a habit of staying up too late or looking at things you shouldn't look at, or doing things you shouldn't do, or being around people you shouldn't be around, or just not obeying God in some certain areas. Whatever it is, let God have His way. Change it. Change it. Determine, God, with Your help, we're going to make a change here. We're going to head for that crown. I'm not going to stay in the lane. I'm going to run hard. I'm not going to beat the air anymore. I'm going to hit my target. Lord, help me. And determine to do what's right. God will give you victory if you'll do it. But you've got to work at it. It's not going to happen. He's not going to zap you. It takes work. Let's do it. Run for the prize. You can do it.